Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the Vineyard in Wycliffe. We're so happy to see you this morning. Say good morning to our online folks this morning. Hello, good morning. And say good morning to a neighbor this morning.
Morning, neighbor.
I don't actually have any, so that's sad. Hello, good morning. Now say good morning to the other neighbor you didn't choose the first time. Oh, yeah, we're just so happy to be here this morning and just to be in community. I'm excited to worship with you all this morning, and then Pastor Jim's going to bring the word. But we are going to do our blessing over the children, and then we'll start with some worship through our music.
Good morning. All right, we are going to bless the kids and the children's ministry, the youth ministry, so if you just want to join me. Father God, we just ask for your hand to just fall on these ministries, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that you open the ears and the eyes to hear and see the things that you have for them today. Open their hearts to receive what it is you have for them, Lord. We pray, Father God, for each and every one of the leaders, that you will continue to build them up and just give them all that they need, Lord, to continue to lead and guide these children, Lord. We just pray, Father God, that each and every one of these children can find what they need to become more mature followers of you, Lord. Just bless these ministries. And Lord God, I just pray over this entire congregation. I pray for all the adults and what have you in the service today, Lord. Just come. Just let your spirit rest heavy, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you open all of our hearts to receive all that you've brought here today through the worship and through the message, Lord. Just come, Lord. Let your spirit be so thick in this place that there's no mistake that you're here. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. So however you feel comfortable to worship, we invite you to do so. And we're going to get started. We'll have our lyrics on the screen if you're unfamiliar with the song. But we just want to welcome you to worship in whatever way is comfortable.
Thank you. God and sing, you are worthy of it all.
Just our voices, you are worthy.
Because you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You
God, you are so worthy. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to get together and worship you for how worthy and awesome you are. Thank you, Jesus. This is such a precious space to me, because this feels like one of those moments where there's thin space between heaven and earth, and this is a little bit of God's kingdom here on earth with us. We are joining with the saints and angels who are bowing before his throne, saying, "You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You alone deserve the glory." 'Cause you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah. Your word. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy of it all. You deserve the glory. We're going to continue our time in worship this morning with our offering. We could do this for 30 more minutes, but we have a sermon to get to. Rich is ready. So we believe our offering is an extension of our worship through our giving. And our verse this morning is out of Matthew. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will also be." Thank you, God, for this time of worship, for being so kind to reveal yourself to us and who you are, and to be close to us this morning. We pray a blessing over this offering, that it will just bring your kingdom, be used to bring your kingdom further here on earth. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Janice and Shiv can't be here, so I'm filling in. Thank you for joining us, both here and in person and online. Our service is live streaming on Facebook. Our sermon series, The Building Blocks of Belief, continues today. Pastor Jim Dwarning will continue the series with We Believe in Life Everlasting. That's based on John 11, 17 through 27. Grab your Bible, your laptop, your phone, your tablet, and head over to... and follow along. The fest is today, August 3rd. Head over to the Center for Pastoral Leadership, CPL at 28700 Euclid Avenue, for a day full of faith, family, and fun. Just FYI, they're already blocking off some roads that I haven't seen them do in the past. So just, you know, make sure you're not trying to go somewhere you shouldn't be trying to go. So, but yes, you can enjoy live music from top Christian artists starting at 12 noon and ending at 10 p.m., and admission is free. The Vineyard Food Resource Center is open this week, tomorrow from 4:30 to 6, for food box preparation. Then Tuesday, setup and prep work, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with food distribution and cleanup from 4 to 7. Please come, help out, and be blessed. Keeping It Real series, Don't Let the Enemy Have a Seat at the Table, is August 9th at 12 p.m., Join our conversation on topics worth talking about at a table, led by Pastor Jim and me. Grief share is for anyone who has experienced the death of a family member or friend is invited to attend our next grief share series. The session runs for 13 weeks, starting Friday, August the 15th from 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. here at the Vineyard. Deals with a loved one. This is a grief support group that focuses on helping people who are dealing with a loved one's death. Each person receives a participant guide with valuable exercises, journaling, tools, and articles for dealing with the daily challenges of grief. Please sign up in the lobby so we know what supplies to order. If you could contact David Peretti. Peretti? Dave, can you wave your hand back in the back? There you go. And he has his email address up there. VCC All Church Picnic is Sunday, August 17th from 11:30 to 3:30. It will be at Daniels Park, 38401 Johnny Cake Ridge Road in Willoughby. All are welcome to bring something to grill and something to share. Contact Anna Marie for details. Anna Marie? Come be baptized. We are planning an outdoor baptism. Wow. At Daniels Park, 38401 Johnny Cake Ridge Road in Willoughby before the picnic. If you are interested, please talk to Marvin Gray. Before the picnic. Please bring a change of clothes and a towel because you'll be really wet. And finally, here is an update from our leadership transition process. Hello, friends. Where is the summer gone? Better yet, where have the past 2 years gone? That's how long our community has been walking through this transition process. August 12th, we'll start our 60-day countdown. Brent, Teresa, Jim, Denise, and our transition consultant, Don, have been working hard as many things have been implemented and new people have stepped up to take on new responsibilities. Suzette Simmons is now leading our prayer chain ministry. Scott and Lori Purdom are now the coordinators of our Sunday communion schedule. And Cindy Langford is overseeing the announcements for Sunday mornings. We are all blessed to have these leaders step into new roles. Jim and Denise continue to review key areas of ministry and connect with leaders to make sure we are in the best possible position when the transition happens. They were blessed to have attended the national conference in Cincinnati as a couple a few weeks ago and feel refreshed after seeing friends and hearing some new vision for where the Vineyard Church movement is heading. Brent and Teresa will continue to navigate through their process of stepping down from leadership to the church. They are looking forward to heading down to Florida for a much needed sunshine, beach time, and fresh seafood. Make sure you bring some back for us. Britt and Teresa will finish their roles as senior leaders on Sunday, October the 12th. There will be time for celebration and fellowship immediately after the service. Jim and Denise will be installed as co-lead pastors on Sunday, October 19th, during the morning service with a celebration and fellowship immediately afterwards. Starting November 1st, Britt and Teresa will be taking a much-needed 3 to 4 month sabbatical as they begin their new adventure. The Paulsons and Dornings appreciate all of your prayers in this continued process. And now, Pastor Jim.
Why so serious? Didn't Rochelle do a great job? Yep, she was filling in, but we won't hold that against her. Why don't we just take a minute? There's a lot of people that make Sunday morning happen. Some of you who just come and there's a seat available for you, lights are on, that's super cool. But there are many people, whether it's the fresh coffee that's being made, the worship team, our sound and PowerPoint crew, to people who just make sure the building's in order, people pray before the service. So, yeah, why don't we just give them a hand this morning? I can remember when we first started coming and there was this thought of, oh, well, it's amazing. All this stuff is done and we just walk in and it's so cool. And then we got involved in leadership and then Brent said, no, come early. And that was probably the first step where I should have said, maybe not. Maybe not. No, it's amazing. It does take the community. It takes the church. And I'm excited because every time we get together on Sunday, it's a perfect time. It's because God's called this group of people here for such a time as this. Because not everybody sits, not everybody comes every week. So what we get to experience today is absolutely ordained, and it's what God's hand has been on for today. Do you believe that? Okay, some of this is a question answer. So it's like the all skate. Remember the all skate when you were in elementary school, like all skate? So man, it is rough this morning. I cannot get it out of my head. You're worthy of it all. This morning was one of those mornings where, although Katie was like, yeah, we could go on for a half an hour, and there's a sermon, and I'm like, well, you know, we could maybe push the sermon to next week. It's those moments, that's where heaven breaks in. Heaven breaks in. So, welcome again. My name is Pastor Jim. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And I am super excited today to share with you. Because I get this really kind of easy topic to share about. It's called everlasting life. And if your faces were the faces when I read what I was going to be sharing on, we were the same. Because when is the last time you've ever used the words everlasting life? There you go. That's where I was sitting. I'm like, everlasting life. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to continue on in the building blocks of belief, which has been an amazing series. And we're going to bring that together because God really worked in my heart this week about just each of these steps that we've been talking about since the first week. Really, truly are building blocks for us to have this, almost this launching place. For us to be able to get to this place where we leave here changed today. We should leave every Sunday changed. Whether it's you just come in and you need to have a smile on your face, or you need somebody to smile at you and know your name, or you need prayer because you've been beat up all week. But it's not for you to stay here. It's for you to turn around, and it's for you to go back out. Because although we are a part of the corporate part here today, and we're here for one another, our job exists even more important outside these walls. Do you believe it? There we go. See, I know we could do this. So if you have your Bible or whatever device you're going to use, we're going to go to John 11 this morning. And it may be a familiar passage to you. It's about the death of Lazarus. And we're going to be looking at specific scriptures from 17 to 27. So if you can get that ready. So Jesus, this idea, this thought of everlasting. Just help us to really get to this place of hearing and walking and experiencing all that you'd have for us this morning. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and open our hearts for whatever you're downloading, whatever week we've had, good or challenging, where we're going to be headed this afternoon and this upcoming week. Just be with us and let us be excited, Jesus, about your word today, that we can grasp onto maybe something that we've really never thought about. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are worthy of it all. And we ask and pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen. I think I'm going to rename my sermon today to "You Are Worthy of It All," because I just can't get that out of my head. So as I was thinking, probably just like you guys, I thought about, my gosh, everlasting life or eternal life. I had to go back to my Catholic days, because I was raised Catholic, so I was raised through my early teen years in the Catholic world, and you tend to hear everlasting life, or you tend to hear eternal life a little bit more frequently than maybe you've heard it here, or maybe you've never heard it here, unless it comes up in a scripture. So there's this reality of, I just had to go back, and I was like, But then I started to realize, you know what? I didn't really know what that meant. Because if it's like everlasting life, it's like, wow, I can't even start to wrap my arms around or my mind around what that means. So I had to go back and I dusted off one of the old books we have at the house and I blew the dust off. And I went to the great, probably well, most unknown theologian. His name is William Wonka. And the first thing I thought of was the everlasting gobstopper. Can I get an amen? Where, did you not go there? Everlasting gobstopper, right? I almost put a picture up, but I thought, you know what? That would be pushing it. It was for kids that had little pocket money, right? I thought that would get a bigger, okay. No, but it was like, so that's what I thought of. My in-depth religious, my spirituality came to the forefront, and I thought of Willy Wonka. So I was like, at the very beginning, Lord, help me. Because if we end and starting in with Willy Wonka, this isn't really going to go too well. But one of the things I started to think about when I thought of everlasting life is the word forever. Right? Forever. But just take a second and try to think about what forever in context means to you right now. Moments that we have that we say, man, I wish this time would last forever. Excuse me for standing and sitting. My hip has been bothering me, so I'm trying to do both. But those forever moments. Like, I started thinking about, like, one of the first times I remember Denise and I were just friends. And we hung out like the Breakfast Club. There was probably 9 or 10 of us. And we always get together weekly. And I had a big crush on her. And she had a boyfriend. Oh, absolutely. That's the story of our first 6 years. So just, it's a tearjerker. And I remember we were down in a friend's basement and we're all sitting and talking and I got to sit next to her. Oh. And as I was sitting next to her, all I could think about is, I don't want this moment to ever end. Just wait, it gets better. So there was the time then we had gotten engaged, so we had gone through life's journey, and we ended up at the time, the day of our engagement, we were actually house-sitting for a friend. We were in their living room. We had a bottle of champagne. We were sitting in front of a fireplace, And we were talking. We had known each other at that time 6 years. And we just were reminiscing and talking. And that was another moment for me that I was like, man, I just wish this would never end. Another one I thought about was when Kaylee was a little girl. Or not a girl. When she was born, she was just a baby. She never wanted to be held. Never. Which was really weird because after the age of 13, she always wanted to be held. She's like the Great Dane that thought they were a lap dog, right? So I'd be sitting there and she'd crawl on you on the couch and be like, just hold me. And I'm like, where was this when you were like 8 months? So Denise and I we'd fight and we'd fight to see who would put Kaylee down, right? Put her to bed. And then each one of us would have our own little special thing because it would be the only time she'd be sleeping. But then we could hold her. So there was a time where it was just me. I was on the couch and Kaylee was just in her diaper and it was warm. But I remember I had my shirt off and we were just like skin on skin. And I felt like it was an hour. It might have been an hour until Denise was like, you're going to put her to bed? I said, no, I think we're just going to sleep like this. The problem is we're both furnaces, so we were just picture that. But it was a moment in my life that I never wanted to end forever. When we start thinking of those things, and maybe you've already thought about maybe an instance in your life where forever became something you could think about, my question is, what makes you not want to end that? What is a part of that that you're like, I wish this would never end, but what is that thing that makes it so special that you don't want it to end? So when we think of eternal life or we think of everlasting life, it's really the existence that begins after death. And it continues on forever. So that's the forever word. And again, I think that's one of the concepts that we can say forever. But ultimately, I think that's really the mystery of one of the mysteries that when we think of that our minds in the current condition that we have can't really think of what that forever looks like. It's us at that point, we experience a transformed, and we experience a fulfilled, and a relationship with God that never ends. Amen? God that never ends. Can you, like, we should be smiling ear to ear. Never ends. Never ends. There's a present, and there's a future part of that, where everlasting life is not just a future hope, but it's a present reality. There's a present part of everlasting that we stand in right now, and we'll talk about that today. We can experience and the benefit of what everlasting life in our life is. We can experience that now. And it's to be only recognized after our physical death or after the rapture comes and we are no longer a part of this world. But that's when it begins, but it'll never end after that. And it'll never end for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. When you think about it, what does Scripture say? There are about 40 different Scripture references that either speak about everlasting or eternal life. If you look at 1 John 5:11, it says, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Takes me back to a worship song we sang, I don't know how many years now, but forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, right? 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes on not what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporal, but what is unseen is eternal. There's that word. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift from God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Romans 6:23. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. And that's 1 Timothy 1. 16. So we see and we can read and we can take the context, if you're to look and contextually pull those out as they were written in the books they were written, you'd be able to see more and more just how eternal life or everlasting life is being used, or even the word forever is being used. So let's go ahead and let's jump into the scripture. We're going to read it and then just kind of highlight certain sections as we go through and just kind of bring hopefully to life this not only maybe you've read these scriptures, or maybe you're familiar with the story of the death of Lazarus and Jesus and Martha and Mary, but hopefully you'll walk away today maybe grasping a little bit of a different perspective as we understand and think about exactly what Jesus was teaching Martha and how he was walking alongside Mary in this opportunity where he shares here in John 11. So we pick it up at 17. It says, Jesus comforts the sinners of the sisters of Lazarus. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Martha replied, yes. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus, please bless your scripture, bless your word this morning. So we see here, if you're not familiar with the story, Lazarus ends up dying. Jesus was a couple miles away, actually could have easily been there to, we would say, maybe save or heal, right? But it doesn't happen that way. And Lazarus dies, and he's been in the tomb for 4 days. And then Jesus, my humorous side thinks he's just strolling in. Hi, I'm here. Not in such a way that was offensive, but in like, he knows what's about to happen. He already knows the plan. But aren't you and I, like Martha, be like, oh my gosh, if you were only here, you could have done something. And that's what she says. She's like, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever had those moments in your life where something's happened and you've known somebody, or somebody either was late or somebody didn't show up, or there was something that was happening where, oh my gosh, if you were only available, maybe this wouldn't have happened to me. Maybe if that specialist wasn't out of town, it could have been available for me in the time of my greatest needs. So there's an angst. There's this part where Martha is just crying out. I couldn't even imagine, like, the cinematic world could take liberties in all of this and make it as dramatic as possible. But just think of the sorrow that Martha was going through, and the fact that she now is actually crying out and in a place really confronting Jesus saying, you should have been here. But then, like most of us do, and the fact that we're like, oh, maybe I've overstepped, or maybe I'm just in this place where, okay, Jesus said, wait a second. But in 22, Martha says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. So there's still hope, right? There's still this place where Martha's like, you should have been here. Where were you? But I know who you are. And I know that if you ask, that it still could be done. So there's still a way out, or there's still a way to get this done, Jesus. But don't we have the if-only statements in our life? Like, if only I would have done this, or if only I was taller, if only I was thinner, if only I didn't make these financial bumbling mistakes that I've made. Right? But then don't we turn that around a little bit and say, my gosh, Jesus, if you only knew the kind of sinner I was. Jesus, if you only knew how broken, if you only knew the things that I've done in my life, how could you even be somebody who would look at me twice? We're discrediting ourselves, right? I'm not going to have you tell me this, Jesus. I'm going to tell you, right, let's get this right out in the open. If, like, my gosh, do you know how bad a person I am? And I would picture Jesus going, absolutely I do. Because that's who I am, right? But he doesn't. He's in this place where this is a truth moment for Martha. Because there's so many different ways in this part that he could console her. When we see she tries to explain it back, just there's one more shot here, Jesus. There's one more way, because I know that you know, God, and whatever you ask will happen. One of the scripture, one of the verses I want to focus on is, as Jesus is speaking truth to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, there's significance there, and there's a whole lot. We could probably just take that particular verse right there and just exegete it for just a whole sermon or maybe multiple sermons. But when we think about that, there's some words in here. There's two words where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And we'll unpack that a little bit. But what I really wanted to focus on is now what we're seeing and what Martha, I believe, is recognizing, when we see the words I am, we have to look back and those were the identifier. That's the name that God gave Moses in Exodus 3, right? He said, I am who I am, right? This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am, he has sent me to you. So there's a reality here that now we're seeing a blurred part of Jesus being Jesus fully human and Jesus fully deity here. But Jesus is starting to move into this place where he's not holding back on sharing who he really is. And we have to catch it because it's so important, because I am is both Jesus and I believe God speaking, saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. And that's super significant in this part, because it starts to build the foundation of why what he says next makes a whole lot of sense or can be believable. I am the resurrection meaning the death and the rising of Christ and the life. I think about back when Jesus created man, and when God created man, what did God do? He breathed into his nostrils. He gave man life. I am. And I don't know if Martha picked it up, and I would have never picked it up until I had a chance to dive a little deeper into it. But he goes on to say in 25, the one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. The one who believes in me will live. You know, there's the spiritual part that begins right here and right now in our faith with Jesus Christ. Because how many people have been to forever and back? Nobody? So all of us are kind of in the same boat when we think about what the ideal forever is, or what the promise of God saying, or Jesus saying, listen, it starts now and it will last forever. Jesus says that those who believe in him shall never die. And the reality there is not that if we live long enough and the rapture doesn't happen, that we won't live to the part where we observe or we go through what is a physical death. We're all headed on that path. But the spiritual side, that death through that all has been defeated. So we may have to go in our physical sense, who we are standing here today. We may have to experience that physical death, but we'll never have to experience a life that misses, that doesn't have God in it. And that will last forever. When we think about the word resurrection, it's what happens after our physical death. Though he die, yet shall he live, speaks the body of the resurrection. And believers will live again after that because Jesus' power over the grave. I am the resurrection. I am all of this. For what Jesus has done, we have this amazing gift. Right? That for what he has done, he is standing in the gap. He is risen and has taken his place at the right hand of the Father. And when God sees me, he doesn't see me. He sees Jesus and me through Jesus. And in that process, Jesus defeats death. It means that we don't have to worry about it. Now, if you were anywhere I was this week when I started thinking about that, I'm like, that's a good thing. I just can't really put my mind totally around it. But there's the faith part. There's this place for me where you got to get there, right? You got to get there. Charles Spurgeon says this. He says, death comes to the ungodly man as a severe infliction, but to the righteous as a summons to the Father's palace. To the sinner, it's an execution, but to the saint, it's an undressing. We lose this and we become our perfect bodies. Death to the wicked is the king of terrors, but death to the saint is the end of terrors. The commencement of glory. Amen. So there is this trade, there is this promise, there is this part for us to be able to step out in faith and say, yes. Because what else could be out there besides maybe nothing? Right? I think about what Paul always says, like, so, you know, if this isn't true, if the resurrection hadn't happened, if this all isn't true, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place where I'm like, everlasting life. It's starting to come together. There's starting to become some focus on it. For me to get to this place that says, yes, I truly, truly want to believe and have faith that this is true. And we receive life that flows from Jesus himself. Jesus doesn't just offer eternal life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is saying that he is God and he's right here and he's right here and now. Everlasting life is not just a gift. It is the person Jesus. Do you get that? I didn't get that fully. When we start thinking about it, Jesus right here, he reveals to me, he reveals 100% of who he is to Martha. There was no, like the curtain gets pulled back completely. He is the man behind the voice, right? And if we look and we know the rest of the story, this is really the first step that Jesus takes towards the cross. Because he's completely revealed. And as he continues to talk to Martha, that becomes more and more of the reality. I am the resurrection and I am the life. And if you believe, and that's what I'm saying to you today, if you believe, you will never have to fear the grave. And you'll have to look and you'll have to walk through some things that say, yes, I believe. And am I pushing all my chips in? I am. Because for me, what else is there? What other options are there, right? So we think about it, what does everlasting life mean to us today? Like, where do we stand? What is it specific for us? Well, it's a new kind of life, right? You don't have to wait for heaven to live differently. We can start living differently right now, right? Think of all of the things that you can think about where, I think of baptism, right? We're going to do one in a couple weeks. You go down your old self, you come out, what? New. You're transformed. Everlasting life starts at the moment you believe. Do you believe today? It starts at that moment. And it brings us hope, and it brings us peace, and it brings us purpose that we can deal with all the yuck of this world. Isn't that good news today? That is good news. Everlasting life is a person and not just a place. So when we think about it, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm in this place where I'm giving you the full picture. When I think about Jesus doesn't just give life, he is life. Do you understand that when he says he is life? Because you're kind of better than I am. I had to kind of pull that apart a little bit because I didn't quite unpack it enough for me to really, well, first of all, to be able to even share it, but to get up here and talk about it. But when we think about that, it's just not physical existence, right? But it's the deep, meaningful, the eternal life with God, and it's full of abundance. Does that sound like a good life? And that's what he says. He says, I am that life. The both and. Death is not the end for believers. Physical death is real, but it's not final, people. For the believers, death is a doorway, not a dead end. And one of my favorites is that, you know what? Our story doesn't end at the grave. It doesn't. Whoever believes in me will never die, where eternal life starts, and it starts now. Everlasting life begins the moment you believe. Your identity shifts from temporal, something temporary, to something that's eternal. Everlasting, forever. So why not? Why not live here today and live boldly, live joyfully, knowing that you're already eternal? We could just, like, okay, game over. We're done. I mean, do you know how huge? Like, okay, it's just me again. It's all right. I love when I get to share and I get to preach, and I'm looking forward to doing it more, of course. But these are in-depth dives when we get a chance to look and pull apart some of these scriptures. But just that, to be able to live boldly, joyfully, and knowing that your life already is eternal. I'm not saying it, but I'd love to see you all dance out of here. Just like dance the jig out the back door because you understand this. You're grasping this. This is good news, people. And then we get to the end, and Jesus asks Martha the question, do you believe? Do you believe this? Because belief in Christ isn't just some theoretical thing, right? It's something that we take a personal part in. It's something that we have to be active in. Everlasting life is truly a gift, and it starts with us stepping out and believing it in faith. And the answer to that, to do you believe, not only shapes your eternity, but it shapes your present. Man, there are big things on the line right now. There are huge things that have already been given to us that all we have to do is say yes to. But yes comes with a cost. Yes comes with not only that stepping out in things unseen as in faith, but we step out also and walk in the promises of what Jesus has told us. We look at some of the biblical ideas of just people who had faith. And what about the thief on the cross? He was dying and he says, please remember me. And Jesus says, today I'll remember you in paradise. We think about that thief and it wasn't anything he did to earn it. He received it by faith. The martyr Stephen, the same thing. He's getting stoned with stones. It's 2025, people. And the reality is he's looking there and he sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And he has compassion and he knows. I'm sure he would say, hey, could you stop? But there's a part that his faith, he knew where he was going. You know, those who face and have eternal life face death with peace. Can you get there? It's so countercultural to us today. It's so countercultural that death can have this peace. I can say early on when I gave my life to Christ and I was just starting to figure out this journey with Jesus, I had a chance to go to a funeral whose the person died of a really horrible illness, but he knew Jesus. And they had a video of him playing. He couldn't move. And the only thing he could do is he could speak. And he was in his bed at hospice. And he was sharing the gospel with everybody who walked in the building, walked into his room. And there was laughter. And there was guitars. And there was playing. And there was this joy that I walked up dumbfounded. I'm like, this wasn't a funeral. But it was because he knew Jesus. And he knew where, and the family knew. And I've been on the other side where it's been drab and it's been dark and it's been hopeless. There's a reality, bless you, there's a reality in that. Today we see examples, whether it be in Iran or China or even Nigeria, where, man, there's persecution for people raising their hand and saying, I believe. And I'm telling people about Jesus. They continue to follow even in spite of the risk of their own death, knowing that their real life can't be taken from them. Think about that. Grieving and hope. And like you saw in the announcements, we have a grief share program. But there's a grieving and hope where even in that example, we look and we see, oh my gosh. I know you're sad and I know we'll walk alongside you, but in the end, you will see them again. If they're believers, right? And I used to think, oh, that's kind of mailing it in. That's like a cheesy response. Oh, you'll get to see him again, right? But there's a hope in grieving that says, yes, you will see that I'm again. I'm looking forward to the day I get to see the faces of those who have gone before me. Because they were lovers of Jesus Christ. I just want to finish with this. If you'll indulge me, I know I've gone a little bit. Well, I've got a few more minutes. One of the things that hit me during this, preparing for this message, was just our sermon series called Building Blocks of Belief. We've gone through now 5 weeks. Denise will share next week on the Great Commission. But there's these six building blocks that, to me, when we go through them, there's this path or there's this journey that's laid out for everybody who says yes and who is a follower of Jesus. And it's a roadmap. So we think about the first block I look at, and it's God the Father, right? The second block is Jesus. The third block or the third week was the Holy Spirit. And we see the forgiveness of sins. And today is everlasting life. And next week, like I said, would be the Great Commission. Do you understand that each one of these sermons in these series and each block gives us a freedom to live apart from this world? Now, I can tell you it was hard. This journey through even these blocks for me has been really challenging because, as I said, I was raised Catholic, so I understood God to be this mean thunderbolt lightning, like always upset at me. God. So what I had to learn is I had to learn that God is a God of love, and I'd unpack that. I had to think about, what does that mean to me? What does God as love mean to me? And then I had to believe in God, but God the Father. And then God the Son. I remember Brent and I having a conversation. I'm like, well, so who do I pray to? And is this like just really a challenge now? Is it two people? I mean, I understood the Trinity part, but like, who do I get more if I go to the Father? Is the Father not always available? I'm just being real, right? Have you ever had those questions? Okay, three of you have, so all of the other, you're good. But it's like Jesus. And then I understood, oh my gosh, Jesus came from heaven to earth to show the way. And he's the teacher. And then he did the most amazing gift for me. And we just heard about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the counselor, the person that's walking with us today, that we don't have to be alone. That we can see amazing miracles that happen. We can see the movement of the Spirit with healing. We can see it with relationships being restored. And we can walk alongside and feel, like we felt this morning, the presence of the Holy Spirit resting. Because he's worthy of it all, right? He's worthy of it all. And the big one is forgiveness of sin. And that's a hard one for me, and maybe it's a hard one for you. Can I believe truly in my heart that through the death and the resurrection, for Jesus saying it's been paid, that my sins have been forgiven? That's a hard one for me still. Because just like Martha, I want to discredit myself. But God, right? If only you knew how bad I was. Like this morning, like Paul says, I did what I wasn't supposed to do, and I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyways. That's the Jim Dwyer paraphrase right there. Right? And then from forgiveness of sins, just grasping a little more of the concept of everlasting life. If you believe today that everlasting life is something that you walk in today, you should not leave here unchanged, knowing that not only all of these, but the idea of now going and sharing Jesus to every tribe, tongue, and nation is a gift that we're telling people about. Because most people think, man, if I can only live to be 53 or only live to be 83, then I'm good. I've had a fulfilled life. And there's a part of me that says, yeah, I mean, I want to be a part of this earth as long as I can, or as long as he wants me to, but I am looking forward to forever. And I'm looking forward to forever with Jesus. Are you? And then Denise gets the pleasure next week of sharing about just this great commission, the go and do part. So all of these do build on each other. They give us the things where we have to ask maybe some hard questions of ourselves, maybe go into in-depth thinking. These just can't be something that just gets scattered amongst and go, oh yeah, whatever. We find this place when we think of everlasting or eternal life, and we think about forever with God the Father and God the Son and the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing to look forward to. the thing I want to leave us with today is maybe changing that perspective of the if onlys, right? Man. Help me understand more, Jesus. Help me walk out this opportunity so that people not only see you in me, but they just grasp this idea that what we call death and the final, like where we go to our resting place, is really just a door. It's really just the space before eternal life starts. It's good news today, everybody. It's good news. Eternal life, everlasting life, is probably the greatest gift and the greatest promise. And if you look all the way back to the fall in Genesis, and then God said, I will redeem my people. The redeeming happens here. And the Bible and the stories and everything that's taught to us in that book is the promise that Jesus said, I will not leave you, or God says, I will not leave you, and I will finish this story with you. And the story ends the way it begins, where you walk in eternity, where you walk in relationship truly with the Father. Amen? Amen. So are you going to leave here changed? Are you going to walk out of here dancing a jig? I'm looking to Scott. Watch Scott. I think Scott's going to do the funky dance. It'll be perfect for Scott. Or, yeah, Mike Scott, sorry. Because I'm pointing here, but Scott's over. I see, tricked you. Go in peace today. We're going to just, like, I don't think worship has left us today. I don't think that atmosphere, we're just going to have ministry time. If something that was shared or you experienced something during our time of music, we'd love to pray for you. If any part of this message, or even if you just need to maybe rethink or get prayer for expanding of this thought of faith, not only in God, but faith in knowing that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that you now have eternal life or life everlasting. We'd love to pray with you. So just bless this day, bless the sermon, and blessing our comings and goings this week. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Go in peace, everybody.